What would happen if we treated every Sunday like it was Easter Sunday? Amen. What would happen, man? It'd be pretty powerful. Let's pray. Father, we just give you the glory for today, Lord. So beautiful outside, Father. We want this place to be like a pleasing aroma that Paul talks about in Corinthians. Just coming out, Father, giving you glory, giving you honor. Father, somebody's lives could change today forever. Maybe even more than one person, Father, would come to know you like they have never known you before. That they would want nothing else but to seek you first in your kingdom. Father, your word tells us, and all these things will be added unto us, Father. And I love love. I love joy. I love peace. I love patience. Even as an Italian, I love patience, Father. But I want self-control, Father, and I want to be faithful, Father. Your word says, without faith, it's impossible to please you, for he that comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seeks you. So help us diligently seek you right now, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the best news that you've ever received in your life? Could it be like maybe you got the promotion, or how about this? It's a girl. That would be exciting. How about your project was chosen? Or we all love good news. We all love the, you know, news, especially when it changes our life for the good. And you're listening, God, I put this statement in here. The greatest news that has ever been given is the message of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why we're here today. That's why we get up every day. And for those of us that are sitting in here today that have received that message that Christ died and he rose again, and that we made that message our own, and we made it our own, and our lives have definitely been permanently changed for the better. We could spend the rest of the day in here with people coming up here and giving testimonies of how God has changed their life through acknowledging Christ as their Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we'll be in today, 58 verses, praise God. I'm not going to read them all, but many of them. Paul explains the significance of this message that was passed on to him, and then he passed it on to other believers. And I get the blessing of doing that today. I get the blessing of passing on that Jesus died and rose again, and that he makes him Lord over all. But before I go to 1 Corinthians 15, I'd like us to look at seven verses in the book of Job. If you have your Bible with them, open up the book of Job, chapter 11. Circle these seven verses in your Bible. You'll see them up on the screen, but I'm telling you, they could be like a daily thing. Like you want to exercise every day, or you want to eat every day, or you want to watch baseball every day. Read these seven verses, and it'll get straighten you out. It'll get you ready. Here's what he says. If you prepare your heart, and you will stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity was in your hand and you put it far away and you let not injustice dwell in your tents. Tent, talking about your body right there. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be secure and will not fear. You will forget your misery. You will remember it as waters that have passed away. And your life will be brighter, brighter than the noonday. It's going to be bright out there today. Its darkness will be like the morning, and you will feel secure. Why? Because there's hope. Hope. That's what today is all about, hope. That's why we have it in the banners out there, hope. It starts here. It's all about hope, and you'll feel secure because there is hope. You can walk out of here today maybe with a hope you've never felt before. Maybe you never heard about Christ dying on the cross for your sins and raising again. On the third day, it says, you will lie down and none will make you afraid. Many will court your favor. Nine times the word you is in those seven verses. Seven times the word is you. So before we go on to 1 Corinthians 15, this song has been on me since I woke up yesterday. When I Die, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Late 60s, playing the trumpet. He says, I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. If it's peace you find in dying, and then, well, let the time be near. Later on, he says, now troubles are many. They're as deep as a well. Anybody have any troubles that are deep as a well right now? I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. Swear there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell, but if I'll never know by living, only dying will tell. Yes, only my dying will tell. Oh, yes, my only dying will tell. At the end of the song, he says, don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. Well, maybe I'm reading that because today I'm going to tell you how it is naturally when you have Christ in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first two verses. Paul says this. Now, I want to remind you. I mean, every preacher in every church should be sharing this today. I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preach to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So when you walk out of here today, I can tell you for the rest of your life, man, you got to receive that gospel. You got to stand on that gospel because you know that's how you're saved and you want to hold fast to it. So you see the word that's mentioned, you is mentioned 8 times in those two verses. I have 5 statements I want to share with you today. 5 statements from these verses in 1 Corinthians 15 that I hope will make a difference for you in your life. That I hope will prove to you that Jesus is where hope starts and that Jesus is Lord of all. First statement, because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is Lord over sin. Over sin. Really, Lord over all sin of all mankind. And verses 3 through 8, he says, for I delivered to you as first importance, which I also receive, that Christ died for our sins and according to with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the 3rd day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, then to the 12. He then appeared to more than 500 brothers in one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, Paul writes. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one to untimely born, he appeared also to me, Paul is saying there. So Christ died for our sins. Jesus died to pay the debt of all mankind. There's no sin of any person, no matter how bad or how abundant, it reaches beyond the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord over the sin of each individual. Verses 9 through 11. For I am the least of the apostles. That's why I love Paul. He's so humble. So humble. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, Paul writes, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them. Though it was not I, Paul says, but the grace of God that is in with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. So Paul, he persecuted the church. And Paul takes that sacrifice that covers the debt of all and applies it to his own personal life. And that's what we need to do, even on this day. Because Jesus, he just didn't cover the sins of the world. He covered my sin. He covered your sin. And Paul would say that Jesus covered a sin, then he can cover the sin of any person. Point number 2, because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is the Lord over the opinions of men. Isn't it beautiful? Some say that this life is all there is. In 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 14. Now, if Christ has proclaimed his raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is still in vain. And so your faith is in vain. And believe me, that is still going on today. People saying there's no resurrection. And Paul, even at this time when the Bible was written, was living in a time where people were denying the reality of the resurrection. This is the life of all we have. I want you to look in your listening guide here for a moment and take out a sheet, a green sheet that Elizabeth put together for me. Because I wanted you to realize that even on today, there are still people saying Christ hasn't risen. There's no resurrection. And I just want to give you, take this with you. I just want to highlight to you what different religions are saying today about Jesus. Christian Science, say that Jesus was not the Christ, but a man who displayed the Christ idea. Seriously, somebody was smoking some pot. Christ means perfection, not a person. Jesus was not God. God can never become man or flesh. He did not suffer and could not suffer for sins. He did not die on the cross. He was not resurrected physically. He will not literally come back. And there's 40,000 people worldwide that believes that trash. New Age, many believe went east to India or Tibet and learned mystical truth. That's what messed up the Beatles. Then religion says that Jesus did not rise physically from the dead, but rose into a spiritual realm. In the United States, there's about 3.5 million that follow the New Age beliefs. Unification Church, the second coming of Christ, is fulfilled in Sung Mung Moon, who is superior to Jesus and will finish Jesus' mission. 3 million people practice that religion. Scientology, Jesus is rarely mentioned in Scientology. Jesus was not the creator, nor was he an operating theatin in control of supernatural powers cleared from mental defects. Jesus did not die for our sins. 10 million people are believing in Scientology. Islam, Jesus was not God or the Son of God. He was not crucified or resurrected. He, not Muhammad, will return to play a special role before the future judgment day. Perhaps turning Christians to Islam. In 2010, estimated that there are 1.6 billion people in the world that believe that is contrary to what Jesus teaches us in the Word, to what's contrary, what the Holy Spirit spoke through the writers and made this Bible for us. Hinduism, Jesus Christ is a teacher, a guru, an avatar, an incarnation of Vishnu. He's the Son of God as are others. His death does not atone for sins. He did not rise from the dead. And I came here to tell you that there's 1 billion people in the world that believe that. 500 million people that call themselves Buddhists will believe that. So Paul was living in a time where people were denying the reality of the resurrection. They're saying this life is all we have. And that short-sighted advantage to this way of thinking is that, and I put it in your listening guide, that men are able to live with the false assumption that there will be no long-term consequences to their actions. It's a true statement. There's going to be consequences for our actions in this life. We're going to stand before God and give an account. But when we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, when we ask Him to forgive us, for Him to forgive us of our sins and we become His child, we don't have to worry about that judgment. Because that judgment will be just what we did after we knew Christ. The Scriptures say that there is hope beyond the grave. In verses 3 and 4, God's Word tells us that He raised up Christ. In verses 15 through 19, He says, We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, Paul wrote. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope, we have hope in this life only. We are all people most be pitied. So regardless of what men says, the Bible gives evidence. The Bible gives us eyewitness testimony to the reality there is a resurrection. And if there was a resurrection for Jesus, there'll be a resurrection for us. And that's where our hope lies. We are not all of men most miserable because there's something more than this life. Let men say what they're going to say, but Jesus will have the final word. Third point, because of His death and resurrection, Jesus is Lord over all His enemies. All His enemies. He is Lord over His physical enemies. In verses 22 and 23, He says, "For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall be made alive. but each to his own order. Christ is the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. If you want to show somebody about Christ, you can turn to Philippians chapter 2 and you can just read verses 5 through 11, because it records there that Jesus became one of us in order that he might do what all men since Adam have done. He came to die. And the men who witnessed Jesus' death and the station guards at his tomb thought they had won until that day. Man had defeated 100% of the time by death. But Jesus defeated in one blow the men who opposed him and the enemy and all of us. So Jesus is Lord over his physical enemies. He's also Lord over his spiritual enemies. Verse 24, chapter 15. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God and the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. So Jesus created all that there is, including those spiritual forces who have rebelled against him. And they're trying to thwart his plan and lordship. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So we face this same enemy every day. We face these same battles every day. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, or over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." And the media will tell you, we're just fighting Republican and Democrat. And it's not about that. It's about rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The women's ministry here at Community Christian Fellowship just finished going through a Beth Moore study through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. She made this statement on page 66. I love it. Kathy pointed it out to me. It just blew me away. Here's what Beth Moore wrote, and I think it's in your listening guide. "Satan throws his head back and howls when he can use small things to keep believers from uniting in great things for the fame of Jesus Christ." That's powerful. I mean, that says it all right there. He not only works hard to see that wrong people unite, he runs the chainsaw until it smokes black so good people divide. Satan wants nothing else but to divide. Satan wants nothing else but to divide this band. Satan wants nothing else but to divide the elders. Satan wants nothing else but to take the things of God and mix them all up in our minds and thinking you can do it on your own and you don't need Christ and there's no resurrection. You don't have to worry about that. And all you have to do is turn on MSNBC. They'll tell you that every day. Sorry, I had to slide that in. But it was through the cross and the empty tomb that Jesus triumphed over his and our enemies. They threw their best at him, but he defeated them for all the universe to behold. Colossians 2:15 says, "He disarms the rulers and authorities and puts them to an open shame by triumphing over them in him." So he's Lord over his physical enemies. He's Lord over his spiritual enemies. Point number 4, because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is Lord over my weaknesses. That's powerful. That gives us hope. That helps us understand that humanity really is in a depressing state right now. You just have to turn on the news every night. In verse 43, we're going to jump from verse 25 to 43. "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." So you see the word dishonor there, and you look in the mirror, and it's not hard to understand why Paul uses negative language to describe the present state of our physical bodies. And even if you're in the best shape of your life, I think Caleb's benching 250 now. Even if you're in the best shape of your life, you have to admit that you have limitations and weaknesses, and those will only increase as you mature, praise God. I'm limited by my weaknesses, but Jesus is not. In fact, they give him an opportunity to receive glory. in the first chapter of Corinthians, he said this, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. One day humanity will be in an exciting state. You'll see that when it says the word glory in 1 Corinthians 15:43. Paul makes it abundantly clear that what we see now in a mirror and what we see one day are two radically different realities. Right now we see through a glass darkly. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 13. But what we will be like, to finally be rid of all those frailties that have held us back for so long. What's it going to be like? But I think to myself, and I put this in the listening God, but we can't wait till then to serve. We can't wait till then to give Him glory. We can't wait till then to dig into the Scripture. He wants us to do that now. He's calling us, weaknesses and all, to submit to Him and to serve Him as Lord. Last point, because of His death and resurrection, Jesus is Lord over the future. You can walk out of here today knowing that because of the hope that Jesus brought it. We brought us. We will be permanently changed. My prayer today is that some people's hearts in here are going to be changed. That they're going to understand that Christ died on the cross for the payment of their sins. And that there's no way to get to the Father. There's no way to get to heaven by through Christ. He says in verse 51, we're going to jump from 44 to 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery, Paul writes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. Now, I love that trumpet. I'm telling you, 2 months ago, I started practicing my trumpet. I wanted to play today, but it's just not happening. We live in a town now, so I have to use a mute. Two neighbors have left because I've been practicing. Man, I'm only kidding. Praise God. And I didn't realize until I saw this verse about the trumpet. In the twinkling of the eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. So in verse 51, it says, we'll be changed. Are you ready to be changed, or did you just show up because you were invited, or you wanted to wear nice clothes, or you wanted to show up on Easter Day? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know His saving grace? Do you want to understand what it means to be His child? And I know that some of you are. You want the future that Jesus has prepared for you. But sadly, there are other people, and you see it on this green sheet, millions of people that are satisfied with the way things are, hoping that Jesus will maybe wait a while. But Jesus is Lord, and He's going to just come. He's going to decide when He will come and what it will be. And because of the hope that Jesus brought us, we will be able to be eternally alive. In 54 through 57, it says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine it all? Imagine that, perishable, put on imperishable. Steve, can you imagine what the softball team's going to be like in heaven when we're imperishable? Oh my gosh, Pastor Nick hit a home run, he's 150. Praise God. I saw on Fox News last night, the oldest person in the world died over the weekend. 117 years old. Was going to be 118 in November. They think it was the last person to be alive that was born in the 1800s, born in 1899. And I thought to myself, I think it was a woman if I remember right. Praise God. What's it like for her now after being here on earth for 117 years? Because if she received Christ in her heart, if she understood the gospel that Christ died and rose again, He was buried and rose again for the payment of our sins, she's going to be in eternity having that hope. The normal future for all people is that they will eventually die, just like when it said, "And when I die." Doesn't matter who they are, how hard they work to change their fate, but Jesus defeated death. Even if death is in your future, it is not the master of you. It is only the one who brings you to the master, capital O. Because of hope that Jesus brought us, we will be openly successful. I truly believe that. Look at the last verse. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Always abounding in the work of the Lord. "Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." You see in that verse, your labor is not in vain. No one likes to work and think that there's no point to what they do. But Jesus promises that not only will there be a future for us, but there will be a future for our work. He promises a good return on the investment we make in the future, ours and others. He can guarantee this because He is Lord of the future. And we want nothing else but for you to grow. We want nothing else but to make disciples here at this church. That's why we do these Bible studies. That's why this sheet is in your listening guide of the Bible studies that's happening, that's starting this week. And you can see that sheet, and this salmon color sheet in here. They all start this week. We would love you to join us. Back on the table, we have some examples of the studies we're doing. Please don't take them. They're just there this Friday night. If anybody feels like being taught for 6 hours in a row, we have something called Secret Church here Friday night. It's going to happen like from 6:30 to 12:30 or something like that. End of the world. You'll see the material about that. Because if you're talking about the Word, you're going to grow. I have a little story that I want to chose to close with. This girl's name was Chelsea Richard of Bloomingdale High School in Brandon, Florida. She lost her chance to win the 2004 state championship by being honest. In the qualifier for the state finals, Chelsea hit her tee shot on the second hole into the rough. Without knowing it, she played another golfer's ball out of the rough and finished the hole. On the third hole, she realized what she'd done. And the rule is that a golfer must declare that the hole that they hit the wrong ball before putting the ball in the hole, or they get disqualified. So Chelsea reported her error, which brought a painful ending to her senior season and her dream of going to state. But she made this statement, and I think I put it in your listening guide. What would happen if we live like this? "With my faith and with God, being honest was the most important thing to me," she said. "And that's what is going to advance on throughout my life, being honest and making the right choices." Any parent here would want their kid to live by that? Please, Phil, I just heard some parents say, fill in those blanks. Being honest and making the right choice. Jesus chose to die for us if the man wants to come forward. He is the Lord in every area, in every decision. The message of the cross just doesn't affect our eternity. It affects us here in the now. That's why we're here today. If Jesus is not your Lord now, if you walk out of here today with Jesus not as your Lord, He's not going to be your Lord in eternity. When He decides to take you from this earth, He's not going to be the Lord in your eternity if He's not your Lord now. You're not going to die, and we're not going to lay hands on your grave and ask the Lord to save you. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Here's another quote from Beth Moore. "No door is so dark and scandalous that Jesus is unwilling to enter to make Himself one person's exit." That's powerful. I got to read it again. "No door so dark or scandalous," meaning there's nothing you've done. You're sitting here and the devil's whispering in your ear, you did this, 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 did. God's never going to forgive you. That's Buddha talk. That's Scientology talk. That's Islam talk. But I want to tell you about Jesus talk. But Jesus is unwilling to enter to make himself one person exit. He's your exit. Is there anyone here today that would like to be honest and say, yeah, I need hope. I don't have hope in my life right now. I thought if I dyed my hair, I would have hope. I thought if I made a lot of money, I would have hope. I thought if I did this and got straight A's or was the best football player ever, I'd have hope. Seriously. If you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity is in your hand and you put it far away and let not injustice dwell in your tents, I'm telling you here, there's someone whispering right now to their own self, I've been pretty good, man. I've been pretty good in this. I haven't killed anybody, man. Yeah, I might have cheated here or did that or, you know, stole that. Ushers, come on up. We'll take the offering and we're going to open these altars up. Because I want to ask you, is there anybody here that needs hope today? That's what all this is about. Everything that went on today was for today, for the Lord to move, for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and knock on the door of your heart and saying, come, man. Are you tired of living by your own actions and your own ways, thinking you're not going to have anything happen to you? Or do you want to receive Christ? You see, this cross is empty. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. Now he's sitting at the right hand throne of God. And the Word of God says, literally making intercession for you right now. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you right now. Knocking on the door of your heart. Hey, is that money doing it for you, man? Is that big house doing it for you? Is that car doing it for you? Is that blood, sweat, and tear CD collection doing it for you? Father, we lift up this offering to you, Father. We give you the glory for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you promised that the Holy Spirit would dwell in us. That when we make that commitment to make you our Lord and Savior, the Word of God says that you literally make your home inside our hearts, Father. And he's telling me right now, share the truth, share the gospel. Tell him about Jesus. Ask him to make a commitment. Ask him to forgive him his sins. Father, I know there are people right now here, sitting here, probably paying for their parents, or their parents praying for their kids. There's probably in here people praying for people to not even hear that they know that they don't know Christ. And they know when they leave this earth, if he's not the Lord, their Lord here on earth, he's not going to be the Lord after here. So, Father, we give you the glory. We ask you to bless our offering today, Father. I thank you for the band. I thank you for Amber leading them. I thank you for all the people up here on the stage, Father, just want nothing else but to bring you to us, to bring us to the throne of grace that we can come forward here and give our needs to you. And Father, I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ushers.